Blog Talk Radio.
Flashback. I am Sinbad, and of course I'm joined by Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much, man. How was your Christmas?
It was fine. I got me an iPhone, so other than that, I didn't get a whole lot.
An iPhone is a whole lot. I mean, it's not as good as an Android, but, you know, it's okay, I guess.
Yeah, it makes my old phone look like a Pauly Dangerously phone from the 80s.
That was awesome. So I think we are somewhere in
July the 28th,
where I thought we left off. All right, well, people that have missed what's been going on, we've been going through, you know, WCW 1997. This has taken us quite a long time. What is this, the 6th or 7th edition?
This is the 6th.
The 6th edition of just this one year. Well, because we're trying to get very detailed. And this we're leading up to, in my opinion, the best Nitro of all time. So let's go ahead and start with this one. All right. We're heading towards Road Wild. And show starts off with the announcer saying that there's going to be some information about the WCW World title. And there's going to be an announcement made tonight. No one knows what's going on, so we're going to find out a little bit later tonight. And then,
listening, you hope it's going to be defended, because it don't feel like it's been defended like in like 2 years at this point.
Yes. Yeah, because Hogan, as champion, never defended the title. I mean, like, it happened his first reign, and it also happened with this. It seems like every single time that there was, you know, a world title match, it was like something special, because it was like once every 3 or 4 months. So,
yeah, the last time he defended it was against Piper at Super Brawl. That was in February.
That was back in February, and this is the end of July. So that's 30
should have been stripped of it about 4 or 5 times by now. So.
Yes, yes. All right, well, the show opens up. Ric Flair, Kurt Hennig, they come out together, and It's kind of weird to see them coming out together, because Flair was trying to, like, to court Kurt Hennig into the Horsemen. And so they come out as a team, and they defeat Buff Bagwell and Scott Norton. And I remember seeing this and thinking, like, is he part of the Horsemen now? Is that what's going on? And, you know, it just ended with a perfect plex at the end, and it was just another match. It was very weird. So,
yeah, Kurt Hennig was kind of being a dick about this whole Horseman thing. Ric Flair asked him week after week after week. After a few times, you'd think he'd get the picture.
Yeah, but Flair was booked horribly. And they showed the Nitro Girls a lot. They were really, really trying to put a lot into the Nitro Girls. And I remember I watched the shoot interview with Kimberly Page, Kimberly, the lead Nitro Girl. And they only had, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
To be on a live national television show. Could you even imagine that? Oh. All right, well, Lex Luger comes out to be interviewed by Mean Gene. He starts off with taking his shirt off during an interview, because that must have been hot in the building or something. And the women
go
crazy.
It's like when Buff Bagwell went to WWE, the first thing he did when he got to the dressing room was take his shirt off so he could walk around.
Yes. Yeah. That's so funny.
Just looked like a total douchebag.
Apparently, the big announcement is about the world title is that the WCW lawyers now, apparently there's lawyers involved, and they're going to start enforcing the 30-day mandatory title defense clause, which this is not going to last very long, people, if you think it is. And Luger and Hogan are signed for a title shot or a title match on that very next week's Nitro. So, yeah, it's. I mean, a 1 week.
You would think
this,
they wanted
but,
to get rid of the NWO so bad that every time this 30 days came up, they would try to enforce this rule.
Yes, every time. All right, Ultimo Dragon defends the TV title against Prince Akea. Just beats him clean with the Dragon Sleeper. It was awesome. I like Prince Akea. I liked him then. I like watching him, like the old matches now. What do you think?
Yeah, he's a decent worker. I mean, wasn't anything wrong with him.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. So Mean Gene's out there again. Ric Flair comes out. Mean Gene asks Flair, like, so Kurt Hennig's a horseman. And Flair says, yes, he is. And then Hennig comes out and he just says, that is not true. And Benoit and Mongo, who are other horsemen, they come out, they're pissed off, you know. Hennig says he's still a free agent. And then Benoit and Mongo, they look pissed off and then go to the ring because they're about to have a match. All right.
Yeah.
Benoit and Mongo wrestled the Texas Hangman. Who are they?
They were, oh, God. I know one of them was Bull Payne. I don't know who the other one was. I know they were in, like, the AWA and stuff like this. This is, again, a list of just, like, random guys from, like, the past that they would just bring in.
Yeah.
Their job.
I liked that, though. I liked how they would do that, because there was a pass with the Texas Hangman, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you could put anybody in those masks. All right. Mongo gives him the tombstone, and Benoit comes in and gets him with a crippled crossface, so that's it. All right. Alex Wright. This was big. Alex Wright beats Chris Jericho with a German suplex clean to win the Cruiserweight Championship. There's no build for this. And it was just so awesome. It was so awesome that, you know, because him as a heel was just so hilarious, because he would just come out and he'd do that wacky dance to that German techno song. And the best part is right after he won the title, he's like threw the belt on the ground and just danced over it, did that funny dance again. I liked this. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I thought this was tremendous. And they kind of built a little bit because they were doing like the, you know, the heel gimmick like a few weeks ago, and so it kind of culminated with this. I love that German suplex he did. It looked just like just so awesome. That he's so tall. That German suplex he did was awesome.
Alex Wright was very, very underrated in WCW, in my opinion. I always thought he was, you know, people thought he was just another guy there, but I thought they could have done a lot more with him.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jarrett and Dean Malenko come out. They're apparently aligned now, and they're going to be teaming up soon with Deborah. Deborah's now officially turned on Mongo, and now with Jeff Jarrett, which was a sad state of affairs.
Probably led to their divorce.
Yes, it's probably what it was. Wrestling kills marriage, people.
Yeah.
All right. Six wrestles DDP, and it was crazy because DDP is so over, and Six wins this match because Kurt Hennig hit DDP with a foreign object while Vincent was distracting the referee. So it was so weird because Hennig's hanging out with the Horsemen, but he's also hanging out with NWO. So he's doing the whole free agent storyline. And no one really done that before. I liked it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I don't know if we're really hanging out with the NWO. He's just helping them win to get back at DDP, you know.
Yeah, but then also he put Six on top of DDP. I mean, why would he care?
Yeah. And DDP, he's over at the point right now where doing a job isn't going to make any difference to him. Not going to hurt him at all. So,
with the exception of Sting, I don't think there's anybody who's over as DDP. I think DDP was more over than Luger at the time, or the Steiners. I mean,
yeah, in the ring, DDP was the most over babyface they had because Sting wasn't doing anything at this point.
Yeah, that's true. And this was where DDP started using that pancake pile driver, where he came up for the pile driver. And I always thought that was awesome. That was a cool move. I think that could be a finisher. I've always thought that. Yeah, that's awesome. Dean Malenko beats Hector Guerrero. Just makes him tap out to the Texas Cloverleaf. Jared distracted Hector, so he kind of pissed Dean Malenko off a little bit. So there's already dissension in the new tag team.
Yeah.
Conan, now known as K-Dog, comes out, talks to Mean Gene. And K-Dog is now a member of the NWO. And his first feud was with Rey Mysterio. So he decided he's going to take out all of the luchadors. Yeah, all the luchadors. And he also started with a great line, "If your picture is fuzzy gray or out of focus, don't adjust your tracking. It's just Mean Gene." Really good line, Conan. Regular comedian. And you know what?
By the way, I think on this show, Gene was promoting, there's a new WCW champion, find out on the hotline. And so you call and you find out that the WCW World's Women's Cruiserweight title has changed hands in Japan.
What? Mean Gene was a scam artist. He really was.
Oh, God.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
When the WWF called him Scheme Gene, I thought he deserved it 100%.
Yeah, he promoted that, like, a former world's champion had died. And so you call, and his former AWA World Tag Team Champion, Crusher Blackwell, has passed away. Then he had the classic line when you remember Brady Boone, who was the referee? He wrestled a little bit. And
yes.
He died in a car wreck.
He's a referee for WCW at the time, though.
Yeah.
He passed away.
And he died in a car wreck, and Gene on the hotline said nobody ever said a bad thing about him because nobody ever knew who he was.
Yeah. Mean Gene always came off as an asshole.
He's better in WWF. He's more entertaining.
He was probably just bitter because WCW was just this hellhole for everybody that worked there. No one liked it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
If the money was good.
Yeah, that's really all that matters. So he should have been happy he was getting paid. All right, the Giant wrestled Great Muda. They had a match, I think, a week before, 2 weeks before, and Muda sprayed the mist of the Giant's eyes. Well, the Giant blocked it this time and hit him with the choke slam. And this was kind of a big win for the Giant, considering Muda was such a big star in the NWA, and he's such a big star internationally, that it's just kind of a weird throwaway match on Nitro. I thought they could have put this on pay-per-view.
Yeah, probably so. I think Bischoff came out during this match. Bischoff came out during this match to do commentary, and Larry Zbyszko confronted Bischoff after the match, and he grabbed Bischoff in a headlock and dragged him to the ring and threw him in the ring, and the Giant gave him a super giant chokeslam. So that kind of starts
awesome.
The Zbyszko Bischoff thing right there.
It was. It was just awesome.
Zbyszko is still over at this time. It's kind of weird, don't you think?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I actually went to Nitro with my dad a couple times, and I remember, like, my buddy Jerry and I, we would always chant, like, "Larry, Larry, Larry." And, you know, that's the very beginning of the show. And, you know, he'd do that little bow thing. I liked Zbyszko. He was awesome.
He was great on
TNA, too.
On the microphone, he's awesome. One of the best talkers of all time.
He was another guy that I don't think gets enough credit is Zbyszko. All right, K-Dog comes out for his match against La Parca. La Parca has this gimmick, the chairman of WCW, because he hits people with chairs. And he, like, will do that. He'll set the chair up, I mean, sorry. And he, like, does the, like, Pee Wee Herman dance on top of it. And just what a goofy character La Parka was. And La Parka submits, and Conan won't let him go. Psychosis comes out and makes the save. Psychosis is a babyface or a heel, depending on the week. I mean, he made more turns from babyface to heel than the Giant and Lex Luger combined.
Yeah, and I think La Parka was pretty much a... Wasn't he was a heel too, right?
Who was?
La Parka.
La Parka? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. He was just a babyface for the storyline.
Yeah.
And then they... they're cutting the commercial, you know. And they replay that Bischoff getting chokeslammed, you know. And they're all laughing. This is realistic laughter. I mean, this isn't that fake Michael Cole stuff. They're all cracking up.
Yeah.
And when Bischoff's, like, you know, 8 feet in the air, facing upward, he didn't ask, "Hey, Eric, what's the wattage on that bulb up there?" I love Bobby Heenan. He's so funny.
I need to go out and get that DVD that came out today.
It did. It did come out today,
didn't
it?
Yeah, the Heenan DVD.
Pick up that Bobby Heenan DVD. One of my buddies is picking it up for me for Christmas, he has told me, because he knew it came out after. So I'm pretty excited to get that.
Heenan's the only guy, like, I used to watch, like, especially, you know, like in 94 when WCW was so bad, near, like, the middle to the end of that year, I could just watch it and just listen to his commentary and it'd be a good show. Didn't matter what was happening.
He was great.
He was so entertaining to listen to.
He made something really bad seem, like, watchable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that was garbage that he made a lot better just by talking.
Yeah.
J.J. Dillon calls in, and the big announcement, is to get Sting back in the ring in September. And Sting
he
might be at Nitro next week.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. This is why WCW would... They promise these big things, they'd deliver nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Scott Steiner beats Macho Man by DQ because the Outsiders interfere. And...
Wash, rinse, repeat, same old stuff in the main events.
Same old crap. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's just the same old garbage.
At this point, it's just gotten where, I mean, I just don't even, you know, when it comes to the end of the show, I just know what's going to happen, so I don't even hardly pay much attention to it.
All right. You know where we're at right now? We're at the 100th Nitro. Are you ready for it, Couture?
I guess so.
All right. Well, on the 100th Nitro, in my opinion, is the best Nitro in the history of Nitro. And I'm going to tell you why, because I probably watched this Nitro probably 20 times.
The first 3-hour Nitro. First 3-hour Nitro.
The very first 3-hour Nitro. You're right. It's also... A long time ago, I told you about the fucked up Nitro, where everything seemed to go wrong, and there's a lot of mistakes. All right, let's go ahead and start with them. All right. Okay, Bischoff and Hogan come out. Hogan has double pierced his left ear, and people are throwing garbage at him, giving him the finger. He's just talking about that match, how he's going to beat Luger, and... It's just, the crowd was hot for this. The crowd was very hot for this.
And I knew Luger was going to win going into the show.
Oh, yes.
It was just so obvious. They're doing the title match like 5 days before the pay-per-view, so I figured Luger's winning and Hogan's getting it back at the pay-per-view. So I'm wise to the trick by now.
Yes. All right. Kurt Hennig beats Mortis. Fisherman Suplex. Pretty clean match. And it's just, I mean, Kurt Hennig's kind of boring coming out.
Yeah, he wasn't.
What do you think?
He was still pretty rusty at this point. He'd been gone for what? 3 years maybe. He wasn't the Curt Hennig that he used to be, I'll say that.
Oh, hell no, he wasn't. All right. Dean Malenko,
somebody, so
Jarrett.
The cop took away a couple of signs that said China is the man and originality for life. So the cops took those signs away.
Oh, those stupid cops.
You know what was awesome about this period, especially on WWF? Because they were doing anything, you know, to try to get the people watching their shows ratings up. Any sign that you made TV in WWF. Did you notice that back
then?
I mean, they always talked about the freedom of expression and stuff, and it was true back then because they wouldn't confiscate any signs. They wanted any sign getting on TV.
Anything. You'd see, like, China has a dick or something. And that was great. I liked that. Yeah. I thought it was cool that, you know, they could have anything on there. It's way different now.
Yeah, then when they became number one, you know, it's the, you know, we got to start confiscating those signs. You know, we're not on the bottom anymore.
Nope. All right. Dean Malenko and Jeff Jarrett beat Hector Chavo. Hector, once again, gave up to Dean Malenko's Texas Cloverleaf. And one of the highlights, possibly the only highlight of this match, is the camera zooms in on a Raw is Weak sign. So the camera, like, gets a little closer and pulls that sign away and pulls up another sign that says, Drew Blows.
You know,
for WCW.
Speaking of signs, you know, in those latter days, it was just funny because they would have certain signs that they would not confiscate, like the one with the guy holding a sign that says, I'm at a WCW event with a bag over his head.
Yes. Because later days of WCW, people were embarrassed to be there.
Yeah. So I remember watching Uncensored 2000, and the first shot of the entire show, the first thing you see is a sign, and it's just all you see is a sign. It's not like they're painting the crowd. It's just one sign on the TV screen. It says, "I'd rather be at WrestleMania." And then they faded out and went to the beginning of the show.
Well,
there was one that says so and so steals from so and so. I had a sign that said this person stole from that person, this person is a thief, and the person got sued over it.
No, it wasn't stole, it was something like sucks. It was like some person sucks. Or something like that. I remember reading about it in the Death of WCW book, and that person ends up suing the other person.
Yeah, I thought it was steal, because it was more like slander, accusing somebody of stealing. That's what I thought it was at.
Either way, it was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, Stevie Richards comes out with Mean Gene. He's trying to get Raven to sign another contract. Because Raven is in WCW, he buys these tickets, but he's not under contract, apparently. So he spits on Stevie again, shoves him again, and Raven's going to punch him. Stevie Richards blocks it and says, you're not going to abuse me anymore. Ooh, Stevie Richards is growing some balls. That's awesome.
Well, they've been here for 3 weeks. Not like there's a pattern of abuse going on here that most people know about. Unless you watch ECW.
Yeah, you have to watch ECW to know the backstory, but hey, you know, whatever. Who needs to explain it? All right, the Giant wrestles three jobbers, Lenny Lane, Scott DeMar, and the late, great Jumping Joey Maggs. And he gets them all choke slams, and Giant comes out to no music again.
He never got
Man.
Unless he was with the NWO or somebody like that. I guess his size speaks for itself, is the gimmick.
Well, no, yeah, he would come out to, like, he used to come out to the Dungeons of Doom music, like, you know, and that was awesome. I loved that. That was perfect music for him. He should have got it after that. Macho Man and Elizabeth, they came out and taunted the Giant. So the Giant's going
to they're
going
to have the match at the pay-per-view coming up. So
yeah, so that's a feud everybody cares about. And they have this awesome 80s montage called Lex Wrecks the World, okay? And it's just Lex Luger giving the torture rack to everybody. And they're playing, like, the sweet, like, cheesy, no-name rock and roll music. You know, like, awesome. If anybody can find a YouTube video of it, please do, because it's great. All right. This is Public Enemy defeats High Voltage, and this is High Voltage's debut of their awesome Danger High Voltage music, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because they're
Danger,
the same music.
High Voltage.
Danger, High Voltage. And
I
yeah,
haven't
gotten
all about that
until
you
like,
mentioned it.
Yeah. Awesome. Like I said, this is a great Nitro. All right.
The cop took away a sign that says six sucks. Why would you take that sign away?
Yes. It makes no sense why they would take that. All right. So the Nitro, the hour two is starting, okay? And it starts with, and this is already, it's going to be an amazing hour. You know this. Because it starts off with the Nitro girls dancing, and Alex Wright just comes out and starts dancing with them.
Yeah,
so
remember that.
All right. Alex Wright beats Scotty Riggs in a hell of a match. This was awesome. This really was awesome.
I don't know if Alex Wright would qualify as a cruiserweight.
Well,
he's about 6'5".
Alex Wright's big, but he's super skinny.
Yeah, but still, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Johnny B. Badd was a light heavyweight in WCW in 1991. He had to be about 235 pounds, 240.
He was huge. He was 6'2", probably, too.
Cactus Jack was the world class light heavyweight champion.
No, he was not.
He was at 265 pounds. I swear to God. 1989, he beat Eric Embry for the world class light heavyweight title. They said, weighing in at 265 pounds, the world-class light heavyweight champion, Cactus Jack Manson.
That's awesome. All right. Lex Luger interviewed by Scheme Gene. Luger says that he guarantees he's going to put Hulk Hogan in the rack tonight and become a new WCW World Heavyweight Champion. I don't know, Luger. Benoit beats 6 by DQ because Jeff Jarrett interferes.
I would have loved to have seen them go like 20 minutes.
Yes, that would have been great. It would have been great. All right, Vincent's coming out, and this is where all the screw ups start. Right here, the funny, hilarious, fucked up Nitro. So Vincent comes out. He's wrestling Booker T, and he's talking to the camera. He's like, "That's right, NWO baby." For life. But with his hands, instead of for life, he puts the life sign before the four. So it's actually life four that he does. Because he messes up the hand signals, which made me laugh so much. I probably rewound that 100 times because he was just so dead serious, and he fucked him up. And then, like, really quickly afterwards, he was like, for life, baby, and he did it, like, really quick, you know, to try saving it.
He was horrible.
Yeah. Wrath beat the Barbarian, which when I saw these two coming out for this match, I was stoked for this match. Just because I love when two big guys wrestle each other. I don't know why. I just love it. It did not deliver.
I mean, it's even like when a couple of years ago when Big Show and Great Khali were doing a program, I loved watching them.
Yes, you know? That's awesome. Yes, I like that a lot. Like, they had a Nitro match one time with it was Kurosawa and Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman. Awesome. I love that. All right. Ming comes out to save Barbarian after he's... So they're building up this feud between Wrath and Mortis versus Ming and the Barbarian. I was stoked. That was awesome.
Yeah.
What a great... I'm seriously, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like both of these teams.
Yeah, they're good. Excited Brothers come out. Their big announcement? Ted DiBiase is now with the Steiners. He said he has seen the light. Ted DiBiase says he's seen the light, and he's going to take those World Wrestling. Whoops! And me and Gene trying to save the situation just goes, the belts. Oh gosh! So funny.
And we had not seen him since Spring Stampede when they had the little breakup there. So.
Oh yeah, he hasn't been seen since April.
Yeah, remember when they had the Kevin Nash Rick Steiner match and he kept beating on him and DiBiase told him to stop?
Yeah. It was awesome. It was a really good storyline. And that was a way for DiBiase to turn babyface.
Yep.
K-Dog makes Psychosis give up to the Tequila Sunrise. I liked that. I liked that submission. I thought it was pretty cool.
Which was the Tequila Sunrise where he tied up the arm and then, like, grapevined the leg or something? Pulled back on the leg?
Yeah, that's...
It looked like a position of a sharpshooter or something like that, didn't it?
Kind of. It kind of
or Boston
started
Crab.
That way. Yeah, it was more so a Boston Crab, I thought.
Yeah.
All right. Mysterio comes out. On crutches.
This was awesome.
Yeah, Conan kicks the crutch away. And Mysterio is healed. He knocks Conan out with that other crutch.
Yeah, this was so
awesome. Mysterio
says
to the camera, "You broke tradition, my man. K-Dog. Wait till you see what I call myself." What?
I don't know what that means.
No, I don't know what it means, dude.
I just remember this was awesome seeing...
Seeing Ray
waffling with the crutch and then kind of do like a little two-step to show that he wasn't injured.
Yes. The Cat, Ernest Miller, and Glacier beat the hard-hitting tag team of Silver King and Damien after Ernest Miller hits Damien with that spin kick from the top rope. Bischoff comes out and tells J.J. Dillon to come out. And Bischoff told Dillon to deliver a message to Zbyszko saying that if Zbyszko puts his hands on him again, he will Eric Bischoff will kick Zbyszko right between the eyes. And J.J. Dillon, of course, starts laughing, giggling like a schoolgirl, and said he wouldn't need to deliver the message, and he just left. Why... Was the only reason they hired him was because he was coming from WWF?
I don't know. It probably mostly because he was like Vince McMahon's right-hand man when he quit. So, you know, who better to have in WCW? I guess, you know.
He was horrible in this role, though.
Yeah. I'm used to seeing him as a heel. That's why I didn't much care for it.
Yeah. I just really wasn't a big fan of it.
Well, all right. The authority figures are supposed to look stupid. So, you know, look like idiots.
We're at hour three. And they show the announcers. The Nitro Girls are around the announcers. They're all dancing. Yeah. And Bobby Heenan just looking at them and trying to flirt with him, but be secretive about it at the same time. Gosh, how could you not love that? DDP beats Ric Flair by DQ.
Pretty sure this was their first match, the first match they ever had with one another.
Yes. I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
It might have been. All right, Hennig went to hit DDP with a foreign object. Page knocked it out of his hands and gave it to the referee. And then he beat the shit out of both of them. I mean, he wouldn't even take the weapon. But
well, he's
so
it's like Super Cena, Super DDP.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand why they even would have had Flair taking on Hennig's battle. I guess he really, really wanted him to be in the Horsemen.
Yeah.
Viano 4 and Viano 5 beat Hector Garza and Liz Mark Jr. It's just a match. It's just a match to kill some time. I mean, they never had, you know, matches like this on Nitro because, you know, they would have more. They just needed to kill some time. That's all it was. J.J. Dillon comes out. He said that he has a contract for Sting to wrestle a free agent. He wanted to talk to Sting face-to-face. Sting comes down. And the contract was for Sting to wrestle Kurt Hennig.
Remember what I said about the authority figures looking stupid? This is a prime example right here.
It's so clear who Sting wants to wrestle. But, of course, they say, here's Kurt Hennig. Sting tears it up. And Mean Gene's like, we need you. The fans need you. Sting walks off. And JJ, like, you know, Mr., you know, trying to get his man, said he wasn't going to give up. All right, here comes the main event. Michael Buffer's there. They do the whole let's get ready to rumble. Lex Luger torture rack and beat Hollywood Hulk Hogan to win the title. So interference, but Luger is knocking out all the interference. And there's this part in this, you know, everybody's celebrating, the crowd. The crowd in Detroit is freaking going crazy. And they're all, you know, celebrating in the ring. It's Scott Steiner being a bully. If you rewind it or look on YouTube and see this, Scott Steiner walks up to Alex Wright twice and just hits him in the face with his arm because his arms are up. He just jams him in the face twice just to fuck with him. And then Dean Malenko is in the ring. And Dean Malenko puts his hand out to Luger because Luger's shaking everybody's hand. And Luger, like, looks at him and just walks away. Apparently there's some heat between Luger. And then the Giant has this, or Luger's walking down the aisle, okay? And he's, like, he has the belt down. He's about to celebrate. And the Giant's running. Giant's running towards him. And Luger, like, lifts up the belt to, like, hold it up, you know what I mean? It just jacks the Giant right in the face. I mean, like, he hit him so hard that I really think the Giant should have sold it. You know, I really think he should have taken it above and sold it. And then they're in the back. They're taking paint thinner to wipe off the NWO on the belt. And the Giant has his arms up. And out of nowhere, in between the Giant and Lex Luger, under the Giant's armpit, Scott Steiner just peeks his head through and makes a funny face. This is the best actor of all time. So funny. So great. It cuts to the NWO locker room. Hogan's mad. And Macho Man's going crazy. You know, like, this isn't fair! You know, it's awesome. Awesome. What a great show. Great Nitro. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a great show. I mean, like I said, I knew what was going to happen going in, but still, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was so awesome. Like I loved it. I loved it, and my buddy Jerry and I, we probably watched it. I mean, 20 times that Nitro over and over, just because so many funny things happened on that show. I think I got them all. I might not have, but a great show.
You know, looking back. In 2010, looking back, I don't know how I got through every Monday being a three-hour Nitro.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's even, like, if they did that today, I'd probably have to just, like, TiVo the whole thing and start watching an hour in just, like, a fast-forward through most of it. That's just too long to be watching a wrestling show every week.
Do you ever Do you still watch Raw?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know those three-hour Raws? Aren't they sometimes just too much?
Yeah, sometimes it's unneeded, and, you know, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but...
Like, I felt like
I
the King of the Ring one,
sometimes I think 2 hours is too much for a wrestling show.
Yeah.
If it'd be an hour and a half, or something like that.
90 minutes would be perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and get to... what is it?
Road Wild.
Road Wild?
Yeah.
All right, you start us off.
Okay. Harlem Heat, no doubt the favorite of the crowd here at Sturgis in 1997, defeated Vicious and Delicious. What a horrible name. Scott Norton and Buff Bagwell and... two Harlem sidekicks onto Scott Norton from Booker T. And this is where Jacqueline, I guess, made her debut to be the manager of Harlem Heat.
It was great. I thought they were a great fit. Great fit.
Yeah. Conan defeated Rey Mysterio in a Mexican Grudge death match by making Rey submit to the Tequila Sunrise, all in a 1-8-7. What was the finish here? Mysterio went for the Hurricane Rana from the top turnbuckle, landed right into a 1-8-7 from Conan. What's a 1-8-7? That's where he like picks them up and then like tucks their head under his arm and does like a DDT or something.
Yes, while they're like also like straddling him in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has both their legs up. That was awesome. It was almost
like a muscle buster kind of, right?
Well, almost like a fisherman suplex, like the beginning of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either way, it's awesome. It was a great move.
Yeah. And
I saw it to Ric Flair one time at a house show.
Oh, really?
It looked pretty messy.
Yeah, it was Tequila Sunrise, and then Mysterio taps out. So.
Yeah, he had to. He had to tap out. All right, Mean Gene comes out. Promote the hotline. Do you still remember the hotline number, Katrina?
1-900-909-9900.
I will never forget that.
You can't forget that. I mean, it's just like, gosh. I think it was that all the way back to like 1987 when they first started doing it, when Crockett still was running the promotion. I think it was still the same number.
That's crazy. All right, Chris Benoit and Mongo beat Malenko and Jeff Jarrett in a tag team elimination match. And Jarrett essentially just threw the match and completely, you know, abandoned his partner. It was awesome, though. It was smart because think about it. Jarrett's the one that dragged Malenko into this feud. And Malenko finally agrees to it, and he ends up screwing him in the end. Awesome.
Now, wasn't part of the deal like Malenko would team with him if he got a shot at the U.S. title or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. So.
Alex Wright, the star of WCW right now, beats Chris Jericho with a roll-up. He has a handful of tights. There's a steady chant of faggot for Alex Wright, which, with all these bikers, you know, I'm surprised they didn't kill the Harlem Heat on their way out. So, and according to Mike Tenay, Alex Wright is pushing the 225-pound limit, and he has to, you know, lose a little bit more weight. But I don't know. I don't know how they're even explaining that he's 225 pounds. I mean, he was skinny, but he wasn't that skinny. And he was, I mean, how tall was he?
About 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah. Ric Flair beats six, cheats to win. It was awesome. It was cool. I mean, I liked it. Kurt Hennig beat DDP because there's a distraction from Ric Flair. This weird thing with DDP losing to Kurt Hennig, I mean, I guess they're trying to build up like a long-term program out of this. But at the same time, boy, did Kurt Hennig just wasn't over. He really wasn't. He started off like really hot when he showed up, but he fizzled out pretty quickly.
Yeah. There was also blood in this match, which you never really saw at this point in WCW.
Oh, never. You never saw it.
No.
All right, the Giant beats Macho Man, sadly, following a chokeslam. It was short, sweet, but it was okay. All right. This match between the Steiners and Outsiders ends in a disqualification. But according to the Death of WCW book, they did not change the titles like they were supposed to right here.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to kill the belts. Because too many title changes supposedly kill the belts. But then in this next match, Hollywood Hulk Hogan beats Lex Luger after a fake sting. It's Luger in the back with a bat. So 6 days or 5 days after he won the belt, he lost it right back to Hogan. So it didn't make any sense at all. It made, you know, I don't know. It made Luger look like such a joke. It just really, really irritated me.
Yeah, and this plus was a really thing of, you know, where were all those people that congratulating you Monday? Where were they today?
Yeah. Really, where were they at?
Yeah. That's why I always hated it when, you know, they talk about all the unity with all the WCW guys, regardless of heel or babyface, and then something like this happened and nobody shows up. I absolutely didn't care that much.
Yeah,
but I understand they got to do stuff like that sometimes to, you know, get to tell the story that they're trying to tell. So, whatever.
I don't know.
At least lock, like barricade all the WCW guys in their dressing rooms, like put a forklift in front of the door or something. I don't know.
Let's go to Nitro, all right?
All right.
All right. Paul Nash, six come out. They said to bring anybody out for a match. Bobby Starr and David Moore come out to the Steiner Brothers. And it was genius. I thought it was pretty cool. And the Steiners, of course, come out and clear the ring. The Giant was in the back, and he got served some papers. So that's going on.
Yeah.
All right, Ming Russell's Wrath beats him with a Tonga Death Grip. Mortis comes out to attack Ming. Barbarian comes out. Awesome. Eddie Guerrero, who hadn't been seen for a while, versus Chris Jericho. Yeah. Jericho is kind of getting buried a little bit.
Yeah.
Nitro Girls out again. Alex Wright dances with them again. It never got old, either. It never got old. Dean Malenko beats Jeff Jarrett by DQ. Mongo comes out to help. It was a big thing involving Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero, Jeff Jarrett, Mongo, and Dean. Dean attacks Mongo. and he, like, they treated Dean Malenko like such a little kid beating up a man because he hit Mongo, and Mongo just leaves the ring because he respects him. He respects him for taking a swing at, you know, that big tree Mongo. Like, Dean Malenko, like, is like a fly, you know.
Like, I'm supposed to care that some goofball like Mongo has respect because somebody was tough. I don't know.
Yeah. Kurt Hennig agrees to be Ric Flair's partner at Clash of the Champions. However, he's not agreeing to be a horseman yet. So stupid.
Yeah.
This is one of the most homoerotic things in the history of WCW right here. Bischoff comes out on a Harley, and everybody comes out, and they all sing Happy Birthday to Hulk Hogan, filming a movie. And what it was is, oh, hang on, this was not what I thought it was, I'm sorry. The piece of paper that the Giant had was a restraining order to stay 50 feet away from Bischoff. So Buff Bagwell measures 50 feet and paints the line with spray paint. And the Giant comes out and steps over the line. And then Denver's Finest come out and they haul the Giant away. And Larry Zbyszko,
you know, why didn't a guy like Hulk Hogan, he obviously doesn't want to lose the title. Whenever a challenger comes up, why don't you just file a restraining order against him? That way he can never win the belt from him.
Yeah, I don't know.
And never get close enough to win.
I don't know. Yeah, but, you know, the best part about it is the police based the enforcement on Buff Bagwell's measurement skills. Really knows exactly how long, you know, 50 feet is. The Steiner brothers beat Benoit and Mongo. Mongo got dropped right on his head in this match. Right on his head. Knocked him out unconscious. Great. All right, what do we have? Luger comes out, pretty much as, you know, his only segment here. He said that the great unity WCW has showed after he won the title. The Nick Patrick comes out again, and he questioned Randy Anderson's officiating. So Luger defends Randy Anderson, saying that if Randy hadn't ref that way, he's still disqualified. Luger would never have won the title in the first place. And then he took off his shirt again. All right. DDP pins Buff Bagwell through Diamond Cutter. I don't know. Tony Giovanni, during his match, points out that WCW unity requires more than partying when there's a big win. And they should have helped Lex Luger. What the hell were you at, Giovanni? I didn't see your ass running in there. Ultimo Dragon beats Mortis. Good match, too. They gelled well together, I thought. All right, they're going to try Silent Sting again. J.J. Dillon comes out, the WCW commissioner, that genius that he is. He says now he has a contract with an NWO member's name on it. Sting's listening. It's six. Come on. Come on, J.J. You know, I mean, the only person that has not figured this out is J.J. Dillon.
Look, and Helen Keller could have figured this out.
Yes. I mean, it's not as bad as Kurt Hennig. I mean, like, when I first heard Kurt Hennig, I laughed my ass off. Like, Sting has been walking the rafters for a year, but now that he has this opportunity to wrestle Kurt fucking Hennig, he's going to go, oh, sure, I will take this match. All right. Macho Man beats Kurt Hennig by DQ when DDP runs in and attacks Hennig and Savage. And they both attack him. And then Scott Hall comes out and attacks him. And then Lex Luger comes out. So DDP and Lex Luger have built up a match for, I think the Clash was the next night, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Here, let me see. Or when? No, Clash of Champions is a little while away. Yeah, it was. It's the week after this.
Okay.
All right, let's get through to the Clash.
Okay.
For today. All right, Nitro starts. Okay. All right. Harlan Heat with Jacqueline. Beat Vicious and Delicious by DQ. Because the referee saw Vincent interfere. Vincent was so awesome. This, because I've already proved to people that Vincent was the toughest member of the NWO, because it could be, you know, Goldberg, the Steiners, DDP, all of them in the ring. And Vincent would come in there head first and dive to fight all of them. He was always the first member of the NWO to hit it. He didn't get killed, but, you know, he tried. All right. Barbarian beat Mortis with the Kick of Fear. Wrath comes in after the match and hits a death penalty on Barbarian. Ming comes out, hits the Tongan Death Grip on Wrath. You know, the same story between them. But I loved it. I loved every second of that.
Yeah.
Bischoff's growing his awesome beard. He invites everybody to his party, Clash of the Champions. It was this upcoming Thursday. And he said that he also has a restraining order against Larry Zbysko. And then he said he wants his own show, blah, 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 blah. So this Faces of Fear, Wrath and Mortis feud has heated up to the point where they have announced, because they've had this feud going on Nitro, they've announced that this feud has heated up so hot that they're going to be wrestling each other this week on WCW Saturday night. Who the hell still watched that show?
Yeah.
That's so stupid. All right, Okerlund interviews Flair and Hennig and begs him to be a horseman again. Flair says he's going to beat up Conan tonight. And then Hennig says he's going to beat up the Giant. King of Swing, Stevie Richards debuts. Beats Scotty Riggs. Raven comes to the ring. DDT Stevie Richards. Tony Schiavone said this is the first time Raven has ever been in a WCW ring. But
a lot.
Yes. So, this was the first time that Raven wrestles, right?
When?
Yeah, I think the Clash of the Champions coming up. They wrestle.
Yeah, they wrestled at the Clash of the Champions.
Yes, that's what I thought. All right. Jeff Jarrett with Queen Deborah and Eddie. And they're all getting interviewed. Alex Wright gets in Deborah's face. And Alex Wright is trying to flirt with Deborah a little bit more.
And then this is what another one of those. They say he's going for the TV title at Clash of the Champions, but he's still the Cruiserweight champion.
You didn't like that?
Well, no, I just thought it was kind of telegraphing that he was going to lose the Cruiserweight title.
Well, yeah, pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
They would do that a lot. They would do that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Ric Flair beat Six because, of course, NWO run-in, generic. J.J. Dillon and Eric, J.J. Dillon and Nick Patrick come out for an interview. And Dillon said the executive committee spent a week debating Patrick's actions and agreed that he did the right thing at Road Wild. And Nick Patrick said that they should stop wasting their time second-guessing him. They should review Randy Pee Wee Anderson's actions because he caused losing the title. So weird. So weird that they're doing
obviously
an angle
it's
with
like
referees.
Setting up what's gonna, what was supposed to happen at the end of the year at Starrcade with Nick Patrick. It got all fucked up in the end.
Oh, it did. It did. And then Rob Feinstein will interview him and not ask him that question for some reason. All right. Ultimo Dragon beats La Parca with a Dragon Sleeper, of course. Kurt Hennig beats the Giant by countout because the Giant went after Eric Bischoff. Man, I wish I still want the Giant to have that sweet music. That sweet, sweet
and,
music.
Bischoff comes down to get close to the Giant and sit, and then wants to enforce the restraining order. Now, I'm pretty sure when you get the restraining order, if you go up to the person you want restrained, then that doesn't, it's not that person's fault. That's your fault, right?
Yes.
So, it's not like I can walk up to somebody I got a restraining order against and say, arrest this man.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
All right. Mean Gene has J.J. Dillon out. Dillon said he's done talking. He doesn't even have a contract with him tonight. It's Sting's turn to talk. Sting has until Clash of Champions to say what he wants. Finally, Sting looks at a sign that says Hulk versus Sting. And he shows it to J.J. Dillon. And then someone throws a cup full of ice and it hits Sting in the back of the head. That's not part of the storyline, but gosh, they really made J.J. Dillon look like a fool. DDP and Lex Luger beat the Outsiders by DQ because of interference by the NWO. Same old crap. We all know it. Let's get to the Clash.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
It is okay. So before we get to the Clash, has my phone been cutting out as bad?
No, I don't think I've heard it cut out at all.
All right, good. Just real fast before we get into this, everybody. I had loaner phones, two of them actually, because my Epic 4G had messed up. I think I've explained this to you before, Katrina, right?
Yeah.
And finally, so. Best Buy just gave up, tried fixing it, and they gave me a brand new Epic 4G yesterday. So now I have a new phone, and I'm excited about it. All right, Clash of the Champions, Thursday.
Well, real quick, we got to go to WCW Saturday Night because Chris Jericho made Alex Wright submit to the Lion Tamer to regain the Cruiserweight title.
Go ahead. Anything else?
No, that's all.
Who ended up winning that match between Mingo the Barbarian and Wrath of Mortis?
Who ended up winning?
Yeah, who won?
Real quick, I don't know.
Here,
that was Saturday night.
Yeah, that was a Saturday night. While you're looking that up, I'll go ahead and start with this. All right, it is August 21st, 1997. WCW Clash of the Champions 35. All right, Tony Schiavone. Wow. Tony Schiavone says that even James J. Dillon knows what Sting wants now. So they kind of even say that James J. Dillon is an idiot. Mongo McMichael beat Jeff Jarrett after Jarrett excellently nailed, or after Eddie Guerrero excellently nailed Jarrett with the U.S. title, Mongo's the new U.S. heavyweight champion. These two guys, for as much shit as people talk about Mongo or even Jeff Jarrett, Jarrett made Mongo look pretty good in this match, I thought. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought he made him look good too, which is a little difficult to do sometimes.
Yes. Oh. So, Mongo wins the title. All right, Alex Wright is being sued. Says he's going to win the title tonight. Then dances. Raven, who is not under contract, WCW. And says he'll wrestle for this company if it's a no DQ match. And said it's Raven's rules. So he beats Stevie Richards, DDT. And they talk about how Raven had all those surgeries on his ankle.
Yeah.
And he wears the lifts in one shoe. I thought that was pretty cool. Did you find out anything about the match?
I think that might be legit. I'm not sure.
Oh, it really might be. I don't know.
Because I think they did some kind of thing in ECW with his foot, too. So I think it might have been an actual real thing.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Alex Wright beats Ultimo Dragon. He loses one belt, gets the other. New TV champion, Alex Wright. This Alex Wright push is awesome. Hilarious. He beats me, too.
Yeah.
Just awesome.
It's like the Lance Storm push in WCW in 2000 when he won all the titles.
That was also good.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We gotta get Lance on when we're talking about these 2000 shows.
Yeah.
All right. Lionheart, Chris Jericho, beats Eddie Guerrero with a roll up, and boy was Guerrero healing. And,
yeah.
Of course, Eddie beat the shit out of him afterwards. Psychosis, Silver King, and the Vianos beat Hoovy, Super Colo, Hector Garza, and Liz Mark Jr. in one of those Lucha Libre matches. And this was probably the highlight of the show. It was a good, really good match.
Yeah.
I like Silver King. I thought he was cool. All right. They have Ric Flair, Kurt Hennig, beat Six and Conan. It's pretty short match. They still don't have an answer if he's going to be with the Horsemen or not. And was it, did they even announce the Sting thing yet?
No, I think it was the end of the show.
All right, that's the end of the show. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Scott Hall, Macho Man, beat Randy Savage and Lex Luger when Hall pinned Luger after DDP accidentally gave Luger a diamond cutter.
Yeah, they were building up some kind of, I don't know, the dissension between Luger and Page for the next couple of weeks, and so that's why they did this finish, though.
Yeah, so a bunch of NWO birthday leaflets come down from the ceiling, and NWO comes out, and while it's all going on, Sting the rafters with a live vulture, and that's it.
The lights go out again, and when they come back on, the vulture's like sitting on the ropes.
Yes, yes.
Trying his best to fly away, except his feet are like tied to the top rope, so can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poor vulture.
Yeah.
All right. So what are we going to get to next week, Couture?
Next week we'll get to one of the big things. We'll get to the retirement of Arn Anderson and the NWO parody skit of that. And Roddy Piper comes back, and we'll get to the Fall Brawl pay-per-view with the turn of Curt Hennig to the NWO. So.
All right, I look forward to it, man. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Don't forget to listen to our archives, superfriendsuniverse.com, and check out all the other shows on that great website. We'll be back next week, same time. It's been fun, Couture, of course, as usual. So I will talk to you next week, man.
All right.
All right, good night, everybody.